Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, Courtney. It's Sarah from Kent Memorial Library.
Hey, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you? How are things over in Millbrook?
Good. So busy, but all good things.
Busy's good.
How is your building project going?
Oh, great, actually. I think last time we talked, we were moving out or had just moved out. We are now fully settled in our temporary location, which is about a two-minute walk from our permanent location. But more exciting news is that we finally got our building permit, and we are beginning. So demolition starts this week, and we are on our way.
That is so exciting.
It is exciting. It's a little nauseating, but it's mostly exciting. there's still a million questions. We just got some weird news about, we do the E-rate discount. I'm sure you do too. But they're talking about because we're not in the building, they might pull it. You know, we're going to have some issues. But we just have to keep moving forward. And there's no, you know, and let the chips fall where they may. But yeah. Anyway, I could talk about it all day, but I think we have a topic today of homeschooling. Tell me what you guys do over there.
Yeah, so we don't have really separate programs for homeschoolers. I think we just kind of like make our programs open for everybody, mm-hmm. type of thing. And we do have, I would say, a decent number of people that homeschool, I would say, in Dutchess County in general. I think there's been an increase like since 2020,
yeah.
of people homeschooling for a variety of reasons. But we just generally keep our programs open to everybody who mm-hmm. wants to come, whether they're homeschooling or not, and we don't really do anything separate. We haven't really heard a need for it. If we did hear a need for it, we would definitely look at it, but so far it seems like everything's going well. And if there's somebody listening that would like a homeschooling program,
yeah,
lives in Millbrook, let me know.
Yeah. Okay. You know, that's the same for us. You know, we do have homeschoolers in the area, but nothing, we don't necessarily do any particular programming for them. There are kids who come in looking for helps with like their projects, their bigger projects that they might be working on. And one thing that our children's staff is doing very consciously is making sure that the nonfiction is up to date and kind of ever expanding, because, you know, for research purposes, you need to have things that are current, and you know, but that benefits everybody. So it's not necessarily done for the homeschoolers, but they absolutely benefit from it. And, you know, again, like you guys, we do keep our ears open and our programming. If we see that there's a need, then we start working it out. But we have a pretty, you know, we have a larger town directly south of us, New Milford, with about 30,000 people versus our around 3. And they do have a larger homeschool community that does kind of, they are organized. There's even there's a school, which sounds sort of counterintuitive, but when you get into the middle school and certainly into the high school level, it can be hard, I think, for a homeschool parent, generally it's the parent who's doing the teaching, to know everything about everything, right? So it's sort of a homeschool co-op that exists down in New Milford, and anybody can go. They have kids who drive like an hour to get there. And they'll do classes like chemistry and maybe higher math and deeper dives into American history or philosophy or whatever, things that maybe a parent wouldn't necessarily have the full breadth of education on a particular subject. So they take these classes down there. And it's not free, but it's affordable, and there's help available. And then the parents have to pitch in to help the school function, you know, so they have lots of parent volunteering opportunities. So that's kind of neat, and that's been happening. I think that's been around for, 20 years or so, maybe even more.
Great.
And it's, what's nice about it is now some of the kids who went there are now on the staff. Like they are actually, they went to college. All the kids go to college after, just anyone who, you know, tries. And some of them have come back and are now teaching there, which is pretty cool.
It's a really nice full circle.
Yeah, it is full circle. And it's kind of driven by the needs of the group. So if there's 4 kids that are all like, I really need German or I really need whatever, they find a teacher, and they're all kind of ad hoc teachers. and they come in and you know, teach 1 or 2 hours a week for a term or whatever, and get the kids up to snuff. I don't think they do a lot of sort of standardized testing, and they certainly don't do a lot of grading. It's more project based. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you know anyone who's looking for that next level of homeschooling, there you go. It's called Education Without Walls down in New Milford.
That's a good reference to keep in mind.
There you go.
Sure.
So, other than that, what's going on over there?
Oh, we are busy. So we have a lot of stuff coming up for April. We're going to be participating in the Town of Washington Earth Day celebration on April 19th. So we're going to bring our seed library. People can come and swap seeds with other gardeners. I think we're going to show people how to make compostable seed planters from recycled materials. So that'll be pretty fun. Starting on the 17th of April and going to the 23rd, we're doing our electronic device recycling program. So anybody can bring in pretty much anything with a plug in any condition, with a few exceptions from that time period, whenever we're open. And last time we did it, we collected so much.
Really?
And people have been asking ever since then when we're going to do it again. So I think that's going to be very popular.
Huh. And they don't just do that at your transfer station?
I'm not sure if they do it at the transfer. We're a little bit smaller, so I don't know if they have the capability. I know the county does it.
Okay.
Occasionally, I don't know how often they do it, but I think they do it a couple times a year. But this is something where it's convenient for people.
Yeah. Our transfer station has an e-waste spot, so you could just bring all your things all the time.
I'm not sure if they do. That's a great question. But this is like a, if anything, we found like last year it gave people the like a reminder, like, oh yeah, I have that computer that's been sitting in the corner of the room for
a year. Yeah.
So, yeah. Maybe it's time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, then there you go. That's a nice idea. Any other fun stuff?
We are showing Hamilton on the 16th, which is going to be very exciting. One of my personal favorites. And then on April 25th, we have our final concert in our winter concert series that we do with the Millbrook Arts Group. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is going to be chamber music. A lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, that's a busy month. Speaking of Hamilton, we have our annual meeting. Normally it's in January, but we've pushed it this year to the end of March because of the move and all that jazz. But we're doing a special program on Saturday right after the meeting called From Liberty to Legacy, and it's basically about how Broadway interprets historical events and turns them into fabulous musicals. And the particular focus of this guy's talk is two shows, one of them 1776,
yes,
and the other one is Hamilton, and that will be loads of fun. I will have to restrain myself not to sing along. But he's fun. He's a Broadway vet. He's got lots of stage presence, and I think it'll be a really entertaining program. And, you know, I'm sure you guys are doing America 250 kind of programming. You know, we're trying to do bits and pieces of it all year. There'll definitely be some things right around the actual 4th of July, but that this is part of that kind of Americana focus for the year. So, wow, two Hamilton references in one chat. That's impressive.
I know. This is a good one.
We also have a neat opportunity. I'm not sure if you know who Patrick Ness is. He's a young adult writer. He's written some cool, cool stuff. I think that my favorite is When the Monster Calls When Monster Calls. But he also wrote another really cool series that I loved about 15 years ago called The Knife of Never Letting Go. Anyway, he's a big deal, and he's coming to Kent, which is cool. So we're doing a program in conjunction with our local bookstore when he visits. So I will try not to fangirl, but I might be there with some sort of poster. We'll see. Anyway, that's neat. And then we have another sort of historical event. Peter Vermillier, who is a local teacher, he's like the head of the history department up at Housatonic, and he has written a fair number of books, but he's got a new one out, and it's about Litchfield County and the Revolutionary War. And those are always super popular. Everybody here loves to, you know, dive into our history and our part of that. We are a memorial library, so we've got our names up on the wall of people that were involved, and they're still family names. that are the same, and it's the descendants of those people that participated. Lots of history, cool stuff coming up.
I will say that's a good reminder for me, too. We're opening an exhibit in our gallery in partnership with the Millbrook Historical Society on April 9th, and it's all about embroidery, and it's a celebration of Millbrook artists who kind of like paved the way for starting the Embroiderers Guild of America, which I believe was founded in Millbrook, which is cool. So we have a lot of great needlework in the library that was donated by a local artist, and we're going to have like more detailed information on that. We're bringing in works on loan from like families in the area, some of our local churches.
Oh, that's
cool.
So
if anybody's into needlework or embroidery, that's going to be a good one.
That's really neat. Yeah, we do a lot of stuff with the Kent Quilters, who are similarly, they have a wide, big group, and they all get together, but then occasionally we'll do these big shows, and you just see the incredible depth of the work. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's like magic to me. I'm always constantly blown away at the ability of these artists.
Yeah,
the talent.
Yeah, agreed. All right, are you reading anything fun?
I am reading right now. It is like kind of a guilty pleasure read. I don't know if you've heard of the Dungeon Crawler Carl series.
No.
It's a romp. It's basically a fantasy series with a mix of sci-fi and aliens in it, and it's just a good time.
That's fun.
I'm reading it. I got some of my family members reading it, and so far it has been a hit with the family. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good one to add to the list.
How about you?
I just finished this cool one called Good People, and it's about an Afghan family who is now living in Virginia. And what I liked about it is their daughter has died, and it's sort of under investigation. Well, it wasn't under investigation at first, but they eventually, you know, go under investigation. But what's neat about it is the structure of the book. It's not a story. It's not a traditional narrative. It's all done in interview form with witnesses. Uh-huh. So witnesses, some at the event, but also just people that know the family and people that knew the daughter. And so it ranges from, you know, other Afghan refugees who have opinions about, because there's, you know, the theory is that this was an honor killing, which, you know, we don't do those here. So it goes into all of that stuff particularly with the Afghan community. But then there's also like the neighbors and the girls' classmates and the investigators and the police. And so you eventually get the story through all these different viewpoints. But of course, it's all skewed by all the different viewpoints, right? So you never really know what happened. Nobody knows what happened, except maybe the family. Even that, you don't know. It was good. It really gave you a lot to think about, and it was an interesting read because of the differing perspectives. I really like that. And then I'm reading a book lover's one. It's called This Book Made Me Think of You. Talk about a guilty pleasure. It's super cute. Well, it's a story of a young woman who's lost her husband, and after, you know, he knew he was dying, which he was, he made plans for her to get a book every month for a year. And it all meant something to him and to their relationship. Exactly. Aw. So you're trying not to cry the whole time, but it's lovely. And it sort of moves her out of her grief and sends her kind of back into the world in a way that is, it's just lovely. And she comes out of herself and comes out of her sadness and starts living again through the inspiration of these books. And some of them are children's books, and some of them are, you know, it's just lovely. It's really very sweet. And for someone who loves books, which I do, and I imagine you do, it's just got kind of something for everybody, and it's a warm-hearted, lovely tale.
Sounds like you need to read that one with a box of tissues. Maybe.
Seriously. But I've, you know what? It's so bad, I can't even use tissues anymore. I have to keep, like, a washcloth because I get sore. I'm so old and fragile. Anyway, so that's pretty much what's been going on. And we're very busy with our project, and that's, you know, dominating my focus right now. But we're thinking, you know, as I said, we're getting started this week with demo. It's supposed to be a year. So I'll be sharing updates, I guess, every time that we chat for the next 12 months, let's hope not much longer than that, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'll keep my fingers crossed for less than 12 months.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, good luck. But we'll see. We'll see. It's exciting. It's been a long time, like years. And finally, we're able to say, we're going. We're ready.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's super. Okay, well, happy spring. And I'm sure we'll talk in a couple more weeks.
That sounds good. I can't wait to hear an update.
Oh, me too. Okay, see you soon.
All right, take care.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robinhood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.